Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
So in Acts chapter 17, we read here that now, while Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him as he saw the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue and in the Jews and the devout persons and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. Some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers also conversed with him. And some said, what does this babbler wish to say? I hope you're not thinking that this morning. Others said, he seems to be a preacher of foreign divinities because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection. So here Paul is preaching Jesus and the resurrection, okay? It says, and they took hold of him and they brought him to the Areopagus saying, may we know what this new teaching is that you're presenting? For you bring some strange things to our ears and we wish to know therefore what these things mean. Now verse 21 is where I really wanted to focus in on about our conversation today, okay? Now the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there, now listen to this, would spend their time in nothing except telling or hearing something new. Now, this Areopagus is basically the city square. We're basically talking about the city square, the place where people would meet and converse and exchange ideas. Now, I think in many ways that space has become virtual. I mean, we've read all the different things about how, you know, our city square, that used to be the place. I've heard stories of the good old days when people would come up on a Friday, they'd all drive into town, and the city square was the hub. Everybody was the hustle and the bustle of the town square. Now, city squares are dying all throughout our nation, those places of gathering. And for a lot of folks, now that space has become virtual. And I really see something important here. People would hang out there in the Areopagus all day long doing nothing but telling and hearing. If we wanted to rewrite that verse so it would make sense to a lot of people today, we could say that people spent all their time doing nothing except posting and viewing. Making a social media post and seeing. Now I got a question. Is this your best life? So we've been talking about the place that the small screen has in our lives. Now, and this is not at all meant to be a 2-week guilt trip, but rather this is intended to be an invitation. Okay? I want us to consider the very real and often not considered effects of the amount of time that we spend on our screen. You know, and maybe that time, I'm just posing the question, that time might be able to be spent more effectively. And so the question that we've asked is the amount of time that we're spending on our screen actually distracting us from really living, okay? From really living, especially our best life. Now, I've talked to people who say, you know, I need to get in shape, but I just don't have time to exercise. And yet, there's time to binge watch series on Netflix. I've talked to people who spend an entire hour a day on YouTube, and they say, you know, I just don't have time to go walk my dog. I don't have time to go walk with a friend. I don't have time to go outside and get some fresh air. I'm so busy. And yet, a lot of that busyness is kind of like these Athenians and foreigners spending all of their time doing nothing except telling and hearing something new. Individuals nowadays say, I just don't have energy. And yet we lay around like couch potatoes, passively consuming. Here's a pro tip from many personal trainers. If you want more energy, you must expend more energy. You have to do more. That's what like physical therapy is about and things like that. We have to expend energy to do more. I've talked to so many people who say they wish they had time to pray. They wish they had time to do Bible study. But it's really that we don't have the time. It's just Bible study and prayer has become less of a priority than many other things, such as time on social media. Now, I don't believe that this is an intentional decision, but I think our society in many ways has swept us into making that decision without consciously doing so. And thus our verse last week. Last week we talked about, our entire message last week was talking about consuming the things that we let in our mind through the large screen and the small screen. And so we asked the question, are you a slave? Are you a slave to your technology? And understand, it is addictive by design. So I have a story as we're going to start our message today. And I want you to kind of keep the story in the back of your mind as we go through. In the late 1980s, the United States Park Service, the National Park Service, noticed that the Lincoln Memorial, it was slowly crumbling and deteriorating. And they began to ask the question, why? And they realized the problem was from water. Both rainwater as well as the cleaning water that they used. Now, the Park Service crews were giving the great marble statue of Abraham Lincoln and the walls around the Lincoln Memorial, they were scrubbing them daily. And according to the Associated Press, what they found out is they asked the question, why are we doing this? Why do we have to clean the Lincoln Memorial so often? And they realized it was because of the huge mess left each day by sparrows and starlings. And so they begin to ask the question, why are there so many sparrows and starlings attracted to the Lincoln Memorial? And they realized that they were drawn there by spiders, which they ate. And then they ask the question, why were there so many spiders making their homes in the Lincoln Memorial? Yes, those of you who don't like spiders. And they realized that the answer to that question was because of the midges, these small winged insects that breed in the muddy flats nearby the Potomac River. And the midges would swarm at dusk when it was time to mate. And when they did, they were drawn by the huge lights at the Lincoln Memorial, and they would smash into the limestone walls. Their protein remained, which drew the spiders, and the spiders drew the starlings. The starlings caused the mess, and the Park Service had to clean it. Why was the Lincoln Memorial eroding? Because of these tiny midges. But you wouldn't have known that unless you asked the question, why, four times. So I fear that our life, I just kind of want to use this analogy, it's kind of like the Lincoln Memorial. Okay, I honestly think our walk with Christ should be this memorial to Christ. We should be these living memorials to Christ. When people look at us, they said, see Jesus. Our lives should represent Christ. And if you're like me, would you probably agree or admit to that maybe there's some erosion going on? Maybe there's some erosion going on. And we will never know why unless we ask the question. Unless we just go with the flow. So I want to ask the question, why? Could this be a little midge that's causing so many other things to deteriorate? Are we kind of like at the Areopagus, we're not doing anything but spending time telling and hearing the latest thing? Now, if we read the Apostle Paul in chapter 17, he challenges. He says, look, that the time that they're wasting here worshiping these idols that they had, even the idols to the unknown God, Paul interjects the message of Christ as the real answer to the distraction that had become their lives. So again, last week we asked the question, why are we consuming the things that we view? And today we're going to discuss the other side of what's going on at the Areopagus, the telling. Go ahead and click a couple times there, bud, because I want to show you this Facebook screen. Okay, nope, Facebook screen. Back up one. There you go. You know, for those of you who don't use Facebook, for those of you, your life is better. I'm just going to tell you that. it is. But when you log on to Facebook, usually you see this screen. In the beginning, there's a prompt. And okay, there's a little cursor, and there's a question. And the question says, what's on your mind? I would submit to you, that's a dangerous question. That's a very, very dangerous question. What's on your mind? I mean, honestly, if someone asks me what's on my mind, I have to be very, very transparent with you. There are some times that just because someone asks me what's on my mind, maybe it's not the best thing for me actually to divulge that. Maybe I need to process it, okay? Maybe I shouldn't just be blurting out every single thought that runs through the transit of mind, but rather I should be taking some thoughts captive, I believe Scripture tells us. There are times I am asked what is on my mind, but I need to perhaps run it through and work before I share it. And if we want to redeem the screen, we need to consider what we share. We need to consider the things that we share. Because social media is an invitation to just share. And to this I would ask that we consider a few things today. I got 3 points for us, and I'm going to go back to my old alliteration. So we're going to three W's today. The first one is this. I want you to consider your words. Everybody say, consider your words. Okay? Now, in our story about the Lincoln Memorial being eroded, okay, the monument was literally being eaten away because of the chemicals that were used on it. And in the same way, I think our life as a living testimony to Jesus Christ can be eroded by the words we use. I have a question, church family, all of you tuning in here today. Has your speech ever compromised your testimony? How many of you at home, or how many of you around today or over at the Crossroads Center, you ever just opened your mouth out and the things that came out weren't a blessed assurance? Anybody have that happen? Well, okay, so understand this. You are an ambassador for Christ. Okay, you are an ambassador. That means you are an ambassador is the highest ranking official in a foreign land. And here we are in this world. We're in a foreign land and we represent Christ. Therefore, our words should represent Christ. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 20. The apostle Paul, I mean, a mighty man of God, does miracles, amazing, amazing anointed apostle, and yet he asks for prayer from the church at Ephesus that his words might be anointed to share and to proclaim the mystery of Christ. Why? Because he was an ambassador for Christ. Paul asked for prayer about his words, the words that he shared. And so I want to pray for everyone here today. We need to pray for each other that our words glorify Jesus. I need that prayer. Anybody else need to pray that your words would glorify Jesus to a higher level? Uh-huh. Gang, words are important. In fact, in Matthew chapter 15, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees are upset with him because some of his followers are eating grain that they didn't wash their hands, and they're picking grain and eating it, and they're all upset because this violated the law of Moses. And here's what Jesus said, Matthew 15:11. It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth. This defiles a person. Why is that? Because your words actually reflect what's going on in your heart. Jesus says, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So, you know, sometimes we open up and we're like, I don't know why that came out of my mouth. Would you like the answer to that question? It didn't just randomly come out. It came out because it was in there. And that's troubling to me. Okay? I've got 6 scriptures for us to help us before we talk. Before you post, before you share, before you give somebody a piece of your mind. Ready? I got 6 scriptures for you. Scripture number 1, Proverbs 10:19. When words are many, transgression is not lacking. But whoever restrains his lips is what, gang? Wouldn't it be great if we just posted that on our mirror each morning? When we're brushing our teeth, maybe we should use super glue instead of toothpaste. You know, I was going through I've had this happen several times, taking couples through premarital counseling, and we talk about the words that we share, and every now and then we'll get one person, and it's sometimes it's a guy, sometimes it's a gal, going through these process where they just have a tendency to just talk. You know what I mean? And so sometimes, every now and then, when this happens, when someone really kind of struggles restraining that, I'll take out a Sharpie, and I saw this once, and I picked this up, and I'll write W-A-I-T, wait, on their hand. They're like, why did you write wait on my hand? I said, it stands for something. Why am I talking? All right? When words are many, transgression is not lacking. Now, the truth is, there are some of us, and I kind of happen to be one of them, that we process by talking. There are some people who process by feeling, there are some people who process by seeing, and there are some people who actually process by talking. So I understand that. And that's a hard one, but honestly, sometimes the things we share, this is gold standard advice. When words are many, transgression is not lacking. Okay? Whoever restrains his lips is prudent. Proverbs 18:2. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. How many of you know that guy? How many of you are that guy? A fool takes no pleasure. In other words, they don't like to listen. They don't like to understand. They only want to share their opinion. I tell you, this is huge. And what we do a lot of times also in premarital counseling is we try to teach people about how to listen. Because the majority of people, when someone is talking to you, you're not thinking of what they're saying. You're thinking of how you're going to respond. Can I get an amen to that? People are talking to them. All you're thinking is you're teeing up your next phrase. And you can even see it when you're talking to somebody and you see them going, They're teeing up. You could say, and I put on a gorilla suit and jumped off the Crossroads Center, and they wouldn't even catch that, because all they're thinking about is what they're going to say next. Don't be that person. It's like a public service announcement. Don't be that guy. Proverbs 17:27-28. Whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. You want a cool spirit? Restrain your words. Verse 28, even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. You've heard the old saying, you know, it's better to keep silent, have people think you're a fool, than open your mouth and remove all doubt. That's basically where this is coming from. Okay? And some of you are like, okay, Pastor, those are all Old Testament. Okay, well, fine. Let's go to the New Testament. James 1:19-20. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness that God requires. Look, I freely confess, I need help with this one. I mean, pray for me, because sometimes when I get angry, I talk. Anybody else, you get angry and you say things, and sometimes the things that you say, you haven't processed, you haven't filtered. I guess I'm the only person. Okay, so pray for your pastor. Pray for, look, this is how we are. We need to understand that God wants us to be slow to speak, but quick to listen. I believe God gave you two ears and one mouth, and you should use them in that proportion. Okay? Colossians 4:6. Let your speech always be gracious. How about that? Because there's a verse today. Let your speech always be gracious. Think about the word gracious. Gracious. Being gracious to somebody is giving them what they don't deserve. Sometimes they need the benefit of the doubt. Be gracious. Seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Let's go on to Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. In other words, use your words, gang, to bless people. You want to redeem the screen? Run what you're going to say through the filter of God's word. Okay, so the first thing we talked about is the words that we use. Now, the second W, I'm going to admit, is kind of a stretch. Okay, the second W stands for war. So consider how we war. In other words, how we conflict, how we, you know, have strife with one another. Now, let's look to Matthew 18:15-18. And I want to read something and then kind of hold this up to how we operate, especially with this little small screen. and for some of us, a little bigger screen. Matthew 18:15-18. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between who? You and him alone. If he listens to you, you've gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established with the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen to the church, even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile or a tax collector. Okay, he's saying, look, if your brother sins against you, here's probably how this scripture should read if we were writing the scripture of how most people act today. It would read something like this. If your brother sins against you, post a summary of your view on Facebook to get others to shame them and to take your side. That'd be step one. Okay? This is not how Christians should act. Now, there's a pastor friend of mine, Brian Talty from Decatur First, had a really wonderful illustration of this that I'm going to borrow. And he was talking, and to this we're going to revisit math class. How many of you love math class? Anybody love math class? Okay, so all of our math people here, you're going to understand this. Please excuse my dear Aunt Sally. Everybody know what I'm talking about? How many of you know what I talk about when I say, please excuse my dear Aunt Sally? What is it? What? PEMDAS? And what is it? It is the order of operations. Yes, the order of operations. The order of operations, I learned, please excuse my dear Aunt Sally, because we were old and she had a better one. The PEMDAS, which is parentheses, exponents, multiplication, division, addition, subtraction. There are an order of operations. So if I had a math problem that had parentheses, 17 minus 6 divided by 2, unparentheses, plus 4 times 3, how would we get to the correct answer, 26? There is an order of operations to get you to the correct answer. Okay, the first thing that you would do is parentheses. So before we look at the 4 times 3 or the plus, we have to go to the parentheses and look at what's in the parentheses. And in the parentheses is 17 minus 6 divided by 2. Well, then we have to look at the next thing, which is 6 divided by 2. So the first thing we do is 6 divided by 2 is what, gang? 3. Okay, so in the parentheses, 17 minus 3 is what? 14. So our parentheses are settled. So now we have 14 plus 4 times 3. So what's the next thing we do? For multiplication. 4 times 3 equals 12. Then we have 14 plus 12 equals 26. You don't get to the right answer if you do not follow the correct procedure. And many of us in our faith are not getting to the right answer of how we relate to our brothers and sisters. Thus, our Christian relationships are shallow, they're volatile, they do not represent what Jesus has for us. Because if we don't go through the correct process, we're not arriving there. We have far too many poor interactions with our brothers and sisters because we reject the Word of God and the principle that that gives. Believers should not be behaving like the world. And such is true in the screen. Okay? So the first thing we do, we should go privately. That's the first thing you should do. If you have an offense with somebody, the first person you should be talking to is who? Them! Graciously. Well. No, here's why we don't want to do that. We get uncomfortable. It's a lot better because we've seen modeled, we've got to get an angry mob and then attack them. And we wonder why the church is struggling here, gang. Then one or two. Then at that point, then we begin to go to a level of being public. But that's just not how people operate nowadays. In other words, we need to have this principle. To protect is greater than proclaim. You see, I use my greater than sign because I wanted to keep with the... go ahead and click twice there, bud. Protect is greater than proclaim. We need to value protecting our brothers and sisters. And the goal should be to reconcile, not to win a disagreement. The goal should be to reconcile. Click again there, bud. The goal should be to reconcile, not to win a disagreement. So it's important that we should understand that how we interact with brothers and sisters is an important, important concept. Which brings me to my third W. This is the most important one. Okay? Remember the beginning of the story about Abraham Lincoln? They would have never gotten to the root of the problem with the Lincoln Memorial if they would not have asked the simple question, why? Why are you even posting? Why are you even interjecting your thought into everything else? Now, understand this. You know, I got to tell you, honestly, 75% of the things that I write, I don't even post. 75% of the times, and I'm being very, very serious here. I'll write something and I'll get ready and I've learned to ask myself this question, why? Why interject myself into some Facebook political, here's the deal, gang. You're not gonna change somebody's vote by what you post on Facebook. You're not gonna do that. And if you think you do, you have a very, very large opinion of yourself. It ain't going to happen. We are an echo chamber society now. I get it. Everyone's wanting to say their piece, but I'm wanting to ask a question. Why? Why? Because your walk with Christ is more important, gang. I'm talking about your eternity. And we, if you want to change a world, I'm going to tell you this. What the world needs is not a political party. The world needs Jesus. That's what the world needs, is the love of God. And so I got to ask this question. You know, I ask myself this question before I post. Why? Most of the time, I will post like an announcement, or I post things like that, or I'll post things about my family. But then I even have to ask those, am I posting because of pride? Or am I posting to keep people up to date with events and things going on in our lives? So yes, I'm very proud of my kids. I love my kids. I'm my kids' biggest fan. So yeah, I'm always gonna talk about and let people know about their achievements and things. But I want you to know this, that I try to look back and I try to think, why am I posting it? Is it in arrogance? Is it in pride? Now, I'm not saying don't share pictures of family events. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying don't post in spur. I'm not saying not to post. I'm saying ask yourself the question, why? Don't just be drawn in. Do I post with a purpose? If so, what is it? Ask yourself the question, why? Is it pride? Because a lot of people post to pride. Is it, I mean, serious, you want to talk about the pride? That's why a lot of us post. Or anger. How many of you have read an angry post in social media? Yeah. I actually posted one, and I did it on purpose last week. I was very angry last week because apparently there is an organization, a spammer organization, that clones pastors' identities. And my identity was cloned. And all of a sudden, I started getting calls from people who they would go in and like follow a YouTube video or a Facebook. If people watch, they would get your email, and then they would send you an email saying, this is from Pastor Michael. He's asking you for money, or he's asking you to contact him. And then if you respond to the email, then it would say, please give money. I don't ask for money. The elders get mad at me at things sometimes because I don't even want to collect an offering. That's an act of worship between you and God. I don't like to get in the middle of that, gang. So if you ever receive something from me saying, hey, it's not me, okay? That's just not how I operate. And by the way, we'll talk face to face. I don't like those types of things. So yeah, I was upset and I posted about so that people don't get drawn into that. How about a passive aggressiveness? Do you know that people can be passive aggressive on social media? Kind of a statement just like that. Yeah. I like this one. Am I being honest? Or am I presenting a lie? The beginning of the movie Jumanji, the remake of the movie Jumanji, it kind of cracks me up. Because the beginning of this movie, there's a teenage girl, and she's sitting there, and she's holding her phone, and she's laying there, and she's got a perfect cup of coffee, and she's got her selfie stick, and she's got her phone up in the air, and she's just like, just woke up. Good morning. And it's like, no, you didn't just wake up. She's got a war paint on. She's already decked out. She's got the filter and the lighting and everything is just so. That's a lie. And there is your Facebook life, and then there's reality. There's been a lot of sermon illustrations about that. But the bottom line is, why do we try to present lies so many times? You know what we don't post? I woke up in the toilet, and I ran out of toilet paper. That's never a post. It's never a post. I spit toothpaste on the mirror. That's not the post. The post is always, I look so wonderful and I look so great. That ain't where you live your life. Here's the problem. We all lie so much on social media, we're causing other people to be depressed because they see your lie and they think my real life doesn't measure up. Why? Because this stupid little screen has told you to do that? Now, I get it. I really do get it. There's some times that businesses need to do things. I understand that. But be careful of presenting a lie. Am I trying to get others to buy into a false image of my life? Or am I trying to even deceive myself? There's some people who try to create this false identity that they don't even live up to, that maybe if people will buy into that. How sick is that? I have to create a false identity that everyone will basically admire and post, and that way I feel better about myself. Do I worry about how many shares or likes I get? Problem. Now, there are some wonderful... Let me be true. There are some really wonderful, inspirational uses for your screen within healthy boundaries. Everybody, let's say healthy boundaries. And people who use them for that meeting, you know, great. And people who use social media for their business, I totally get it. That's great. But sadly, many people don't feel that their own lives measure up because they're believing that everyone else's social media story is actually a realistic shot of their life. Now again, I'm not trying to poo-poo. I'm not trying to guilt trip. I'm really not. I'm trying to say that technology can be an amazing tool, but we have to count up the cost. We have to ask ourselves the question why, and let it be an opportunity for God to use. Worship team, you can come up. Here's what this all comes down to. Church, this is what it all comes down to. I want us to make Jesus Lord of our screen. To make Jesus Lord of your screen. But I would also say this, that Jesus can't be Lord of your screen unless he's Lord of your life. And so today, if you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, I just want to encourage you, don't let today go by. Don't let today go by. If you've recognized that you've just been swept away, it wasn't intentional, you've just been swept away, I pray that we can just submit our use of technology, our use of phones, of media, of television, just submit it to Christ. Now, if you don't use any of that, I know you're saying, look, my life is so much better. Please understand that this is a huge issue for the society in which we live. So it's not wasted time. This wasn't a wasted message. Understand this to pray for your brothers and sisters and to pray for our society. Because this is real. Billions of people are drawn into this, gang. So I just pray that we would consider our screen, we would allow God to redeem the screen so it can be used for His glory. Amen.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.